Hey, this is Melissa, creator and founder of Femtrepreneur, and you're listening to Fem Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to the Fem Radio podcast wherever podcasts are found so that you can be notified when each episode goes live. Fem Radio listeners, what is up? This is Melissa Goncalves, your host, and I'm so excited because this is technically episode one of my solo episode journey. Not entirely sure what I will call this or if it will just be Fem Radio 2.0. But as much as I have loved interviewing guests, I just felt like a part of me personally was missing from my own show. I never wanted to take time away from having you guys here from the actual people that I was interviewing. So I usually keep the episodes very centered around the guests. So if you've listened to any of the other episodes, you'll know it's very much so like Q&A based. I ask questions, they answer, and sometimes we dive into conversation. Sometimes we just, you know, shuffle through the rest of the questions that I have prepared. But on these solo episodes, I wanted to separate myself a bit from just the career aspect of Fem Radio and speak more on things that are important and impactful to female identifying people in general. So this can be anything from topics such as sex, love, friendships, pop culture, body issues, job loss, pregnancy. I mean, the list really is endless. So this format's gonna hopefully help me connect a little bit better with you guys on a deeper level. So I'm very excited to release some solo episodes. I'm going to start bi-weekly with them because, again, team of one. So I'm going to try and fit them like a zipper in between the other episodes that do feature guests. So if I release a guest episode on Monday, that next Monday you'll expect a solo episode, and then the Monday after that will be a guest, and the Monday after that will be a solo. So this actually means that you can probably expect some sort of Fem Radio content every week. I'm going to really hold myself to that. I've been tired of making excuses and pushing things back, so we're just going to go for it and hope for the best. This also means, though, which is kind of cool, that you can submit topics. So if there's things that you're interested in hearing about, things that you want my opinion on, this would be the time to do it. You know, DM me, email us, femtee@gmail.com, femmetee@gmail.com. I always say a DM on Instagram will probably go a long way because I'm hoping to change the email address for Fem Radio, considering there's a femtee.com, and I think it's like a spam clothing site. They like sell clothes and or sell t-shirts, I guess, and they keep ripping people's designs off, and they seem to have my email on the contact us tab. So I'm constantly getting emails from lawyers about infringement and trying to like sue me, I guess. So but I have clearly nothing to do with that website. So I don't know where it came from. And I don't, when you have a problem with the internet, who do you reach out to? Like, who is the internet's support channel? I don't know. So I'm kind of stuck. But I digress. So I'll probably change the email soon. So if you have topics you want to hear from, or you want to hear about, or you want to hear me talk about, or even just, you know, have a specialist come on and chat about it, they can always end up as a guest. And that would be really cool. So definitely DM me. So very funny. Once I decided that I was just going to go full steam ahead with solo episodes and really suck it up, I came across some notes from a solo episode that I was going to do last year, but for some odd reason, I chickened out, which is very like me, imposter syndrome to the max. So I had all of my notes stored on my Google Drive. So I wanted to read a little snippet from the solo episode that I was going to record, but I didn't. Fast forward to 2019, I have an incredible job that I started in November, which I was able to reach a personal goal of mine by accepting. Another goal of mine was to live in the city, and I'm moving to Long Island City February 1st. This podcast series has already gotten off to a great start with all of the batch recordings I've done through December and January so far. I figured out ways to create marketing materials for cheap and have an actual plan in place for this. I released 11 episodes in 2018, and it's my goal to release at least 25 in 2019. So that was a snippet that I wrote for my solo episode that I was going to do last year, but ended up not doing. And some updates I figured that I would share now that it's August of 2020. What have I been able to achieve and what did I not? So that job that I mentioned that helped me reach a financial goal of mine. I ended up getting laid off from that the day after my boyfriend and I signed our lease to our Long Island City apartment. So picture this. We're on cloud nine. We're moving in together. This was our first apartment living together. So we move in together. Well, we sign a lease to move in together on, like, let's say a Monday. That Tuesday, I walk into work and it was business as usual, right? Like nothing felt different at that time. And my colleague got pulled into a conference room by HR and then just like never came back. And the CFO actually came in and grabbed some things from his desk. And I was so confused because I'm like, oh, what happened to him? Like, is everything okay? And then the HR rep comes into this room, which, like, mind you, has like 20 people in it, right? Like, we all just have like rows of desks, like very startup-y type of space. And the HR person comes in and goes, oh, Melissa, can I just grab you for a second? And everyone's looking at me, obviously, because they're like, what the hell? Like, first it was him, now it's her. Like, what's going on? And I step into a room and our CEO is sitting right there. And it was in that moment that I was like, something is not right here. I'm getting a bad feeling about this. And it was like an out-of-body experience, if I'm being totally honest with you. It was a true culmination of what was probably the worst career year of my life to date. And this was, I think, what, 2018, I believe? 2018 going into 2019. So this was actually January of 2019, yes. So I had been, you know, prior to that role, I had been working for an incredible company, great leadership, great coworkers, great employees. It was a startup in the tech world and it was ad tech. It wasn't really a passion of mine. And a recruiter had reached out to me on LinkedIn and essentially, gave me this like opportunity of a lifetime. They had hired a consultant to basically overhaul their entire client services department. And that was really my niche, going into a business, understanding what they're not doing right, figuring out what they can do differently, how they can better serve their clients, you know, building up the strategy behind how to really operate an effective department. And the consultant essentially met with me and was like, I'm looking for someone who's going to join this team and become a leader. I need a leader who will help me turn things around. And this sounded right up my alley. And from the minute I started there, I realized that like nobody else was on board with this consultant besides me. So I took it on the chin and I was like, you know what, we're just going to be a great team and we're going to make things work and make things function better. And 2 months later, pretty much the like 40 people in this like 120 person company were let go. So that was a really sad, sad time for me personally. I was so miserable. I hate not working. Like ever since I was old enough to actually have a paying job, I have worked. Even in college, I was taking 20 credits, playing 2 sports. I had a job. So being out of work was so, so stressful. I felt completely useless. I felt like, you know, here we are, I'm moving in. I moved into an apartment with my boyfriend. This is the first apartment that we have together. And now I have no job. Like, how is he going to feel about this process? Is he going to be upset that I got let go? What if we can't pay rent? You know, I was thinking all of the worst possible scenarios ever at that point. But lucky for me, I was actually only out of work for a month because I was applying to jobs, reaching out to people on LinkedIn. I was like a psychopath on a rampage trying to get a new job, and I was able to. So thank God it really was a blessing. But that was quite entertaining, because going back and seeing those notes and being like, oh, I have my dream job, reached a financial goal of mine. And it's like, little did you know, you were going to be laid off in like 2 weeks. So kind of funny to see the things that you think about. But I also, in that blurb, wanted to release 25 episodes. I ended up only releasing 17, but that's, you know, that's okay. I keep reminding myself I'm just a team of one, to which some of you listeners might be like, oh, well, that's an excuse. But the other day I actually spoke to the wonderful ladies of the Tell Us Lies podcast, and they were like, how do you do this by yourself? And it actually shook me, because I don't think I really give myself enough credit sometimes. So that helped me to really put it into perspective that I'm on the right track. I'm doing everything I can. And, you know, you can only be as good as you can be. So that's my answer for that. I also did think it was funny to see that, like, another goal of mine was to live in the city, and I'm moving to Long Island City. And then, of course, we were there for a year before COVID. We actually re-signed our lease in February, and it was like a beautiful one-bedroom apartment. But, you know, the two of us working from home, it's just not, it wasn't ideal. So we ended up sort of, I guess, upsizing, but moving further out from the city. So we're actually paying less. Like, it's crazy. We have a two bedroom, two bath, and we're paying less money than we did to have a one bedroom in Long Island City. So yeah, New York City apartments and the New York City rental industry is exactly what you hear that it is. So it sucks that we had to leave that apartment and leave that area, because they had the cutest little dog park by the water, and Sophie was obsessed with it. But you know, the suburbs are cool too, I guess. You know what? I take that back. I feel like I'm being sarcastic about the suburbs. Meanwhile, I love it. Westchester County is probably the most beautiful area to live in. It's expensive beyond belief, but the rental market's definitely way better than in the city. So I can't complain. It really is beautiful out here. And the space that we get, we pretty much doubled our apartment size, and again, we're paying less. So it's just crazy to me that that, like, that's what the city is, because it's my dream to live in the city. If I had enough money, I would, like, if I was rich, I would buy an apartment in the city. I literally love New York City. It's the best city in the world. But I'm not gonna sort of, like, throw COVID into this entire episode, because I think we're all well aware of everything going on in the world today. But I think it'd be, you know, interesting just to talk through some of the things that, like, we experienced, we meaning my boyfriend and I. You'll probably hear me refer to him a lot during some of these solo episodes. His friends call him BJ, I call him Walter. Not quite sure why, I just got used to calling him by his given name, but BJ is his nickname since he was a young kid, and his entire family calls him BJ. I'm literally the only person that calls him Walter, so I might just interchange it because I'm trying to get used to calling him BJ, but Walter just seems to roll off the tongue. Moving right along, so I think it's funny for couples, because the initial question that you get is like, oh my God, are you guys gonna survive this? Stuck in an apartment together, just the two of you? Oh my God, I could never. And it makes me laugh, because I'm like, I think we're awkwardly, like, maybe he might never admit it, but I think we're awkwardly just obsessed with each other. Like, I tend to be a little bit more of an introvert, so I like being by myself, I like being alone, but I do think he's definitely someone who loves company. Like, he could definitely be by himself if he wanted to, but I think he likes being around people. So this time together has been quite hilarious, and I just laugh when couples are like, oh my God, I, like, can't stand him, it's like, this has been the worst experience ever. And I'm like, I can't relate, and I'm not going to pretend to relate just for the conversation. I'm definitely going to tell you the truth, and it's that, like, I've had the best time quarantining with my boyfriend, and I feel really fucking bad that you haven't. And that's pretty much what I have to say about that, because I can't understand some of the people that like date people that they hate. I can't relate to that. I actually really adore my boyfriend, and you know, I hope that the feeling is mutual. But okay, so we were both working from home, obviously. I guess his company was smart and was like, this is going to last a lot longer than we all think it is. So take your monitor and your keyboard home. All I took was my laptop and my mouse pad. So I have no second monitor. So I'm basically like stealing his. So I've been working off of his second monitor since we started quarantining. And he would take his calls from the bedroom and I would take my calls from the living room. And then after a while, I felt bad that I kept sort of shoving him into the bedroom and I kept taking the living room, which had like the only functioning table in our apartment. So we started alternating. I would go into the room and he would come into the living room. But it started to become kind of aggravating because if I'm on a call during lunchtime and he had to go grab something from the kitchen, it was really hard to do presentations and things like that. And I mean, that's like the only complaint that I could possibly have during the entire quarantine, was just how difficult it was to work because our walls were paper thin also. So I would hear his conversations and he could hear mine. But other than that, like business as usual. But now in our new apartment, our second bedroom was converted into an office space. So we have a desk in here, which I have a full monopoly on. I'm at this desk every day. So I feel bad for him if he wants to use it. Sorry, babe. But yeah, so at least he has now the living room to go into. And it's just a much bigger space. The kitchen is better. We cook every night. And by we, I mean me. And it really is the best. So I highly recommend if you're listening to this and you're living in the city and you feel like you're living in a shoebox, I don't know, check out Westchester County. Come on by, hang out with me. So now to switch to some fun things that happened during quarantine. So back to talking about COVID, the dreaded COVID. So let me catch you up on what we've been doing since this all started. So March 9th was my first day of quarantine. I got to the office and one of my colleagues was missing and I'm like, oh, you know, where'd she go? And my manager was like, oh, she's working from home. She's not dealing with this COVID nonsense. So I looked at my manager and I was like, I don't want to deal with it either. Can I also work remote? And my manager's like, yeah, sure. Like, take what you need home just in case. You know, and we'll figure it out. So I immediately started working from home from that point forward. And then BJ started on that Friday. So March 9th was my first day of quarantine. May 12th, so 2 months later, was the first time I actually saw someone that was not my boyfriend. And this was we did a drive-by car parade for my four-year-old cousin's birthday, and we didn't even get out of the car. So BJ and I literally sat in the car with our masks on, drove by, I don't even think we had a poster because we were just afraid to like touch things. So I don't even think we brought anything with us. And I think I Venmo'd my cousin, I Venmo'd her money for his birthday because I didn't even want to give him a card because I was so nervous that it was still like bacteria transfer and, you know, the virus was everywhere, whatever. So that was May 12th. And then in June, I decided, you know, I wanted to go home. I hadn't seen my parents since March. It was really hard for me. I'm a huge homebody. I'm super close to my family. So in June, I made sure that I obviously quarantined for 14 days. They had been quarantining because their business, you know, construction was shut down and both my father and brother are in construction. So I went home in June. And then I went home again twice in July. So, you know, to be clear, my boyfriend and I did not see people at our apartment. We wore our masks 24/7, washed our hands all the time. We only ever left our apartment in Long Island City when it was necessary. So it's essentially like every time I did go home, I was already quarantining for 14 days because we were just in our apartments not doing anything. And my parents actually had my dog at their house because my mom was like, I don't really want you guys going into the elevator every day and walking your dog. We don't know what's going on. So we thought it was fair. And Sophie stayed at my parents' house for a bit. And I think I said it before that, you know, we were quarantined for like 45 days or something like that, where we did not see anybody but each other. So I wanted to talk through some of the things that we did to keep ourselves entertained. During the beginning, I think he jumped on things a lot more quickly than I did. So he like got on Amazon right away, bought some puzzles. He's got like the greatest Nickelodeon puzzle ever, and it was sold out like a few days after we bought it. So we ended up getting it at the right time. And then we also got a bunch of like card games, so like Q&A couple games, you know, things like, if your partner isn't in their current dream job, what is their dream job? And it was kind of like cool to get to know each other a little bit, and to also test each other, right? Because we've been together for a pretty good amount of time. So it was cool to get to see like what he would remember from things that I've said in the past, and also what I remember from things he has said. And I have the crappiest memory ever. So let me tell you, he won a lot of our games. And of course, we involved alcohol in most of them, so I ended up pretty floored at the end of our weekends. We also got into a lot of TV. I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't a huge TV person. So we watched every season of MasterChef, every season of MasterChef Junior. We burned through Succession. Incredible show. I burned through Selling Sunset and pretty much all of the Real Housewives. We watched Umbrella Academy most recently. We binged the first and second season, and I can't recommend that show enough. It's so good. And now the shows have slowed down a bit because the NBA is back, and I don't really think I have to explain myself on that one. And then most recently, we started watching Selena and the Chef, which is so, so cute. I'm not, you know, I wasn't the biggest Selena Gomez fan, but this show, I just adore her in it. She's so cute. It's funny to like just see her epically fail in the kitchen, and then like the times that she does succeed and how the chefs react. It's really cute. So they did a really good job with that show, and I was happy that we, you know, pulled the trigger and actually watched it. So to switch into a bit of a more serious topic regarding quarantine, I think it's important to note a few things that that I sort of battle. I do feel like I have pretty bad anxiety. Mine is not diagnosed, but regardless, I am not medicated for mine. I try to handle a lot of my anxious thoughts with breathing exercises and things that I've looked up online, because I feel like I want to, this is just a personal preference of mine, but before I medicate with anything, I want to make sure that I've done all that I can to really battle the issues with myself. So for example, if I start to have like a really bad week where I get super, super anxious, I'll make sure that I'm going to bed early. I'll make sure that I'm waking up, getting a workout in, or doing something that's more constructive for my brain. I'll clean my apartment because I feel like the clutter sometimes might add to anxiety. So there's a lot of things that I do and that I want to do before I even consider medicating. Also, you know, speaking to a therapist or a psychologist, that's not something that I've done yet. However, I've looked into it multiple times, especially to deal with some of my weight issues and body issues, which I'm going to talk about now. So I recently put a picture up on Instagram with a fully detailed write-up of how I feel and the things that I go through on a daily basis. And that came after I actually saw a photo online of a, like, you know, beautiful, like supermodel looking person. And she put a side-by-side photo up, one of her normal and then one of her like edited with some sort of app that can edit your body. And it triggered me. For some odd reason, it just triggered me, because for me, I can't imagine already looking perfect, right? Like she was like the society's representation of what perfect looks like. And you can imagine that in your brain. I think we all know what that looks like. And so when I saw that, and I saw that like people like her still edit their bodies, it just like made me so aggravated. And I actually know a few people that I've met, like normal people, people who are not getting paid for their bodies, people who are not in entertainment, not in media, that do these things to themselves as well. And I'm not just referring to like a simple face tune here and there. I mean, legitimately shrinking parts of their bodies to fit a societal image of what they should look like. And this really set me off. So I shared the picture on my Instagram and I did a few like stories afterwards, and I was getting so many responses, like just so many heart-wrenching responses of how people have been made to feel less than because of other celebrities, models, how people have actually unfollowed all celebrities so that they could get into a better mental headspace. And I was just like so shocked, like these women that I find to be so incredibly beautiful messaging me and telling me that they feel like absolute shit every day and that they battle through these body issues every single day. And it's like, God damn, like we try so hard in this world. This world is not gentle on us as women. And here we are hating ourselves and making ourselves feel worse. Here we are looking at celebrities on social media and wanting to be like them when that's not even them. All of their photos are super, super edited. So it aggravated me, it triggered me, and then I decided that, you know, I wanted to share my personal story and the things that I have felt and, you know, just my life in general and my battles with weight, which like honestly makes me emotional right now to think about. So if you're curious about what I actually wrote, you can go to my Instagram at the Melissa Goncalves and check it out there. It's a side-by-side photo. And essentially it just starts off with, you know, I've been so many different versions of myself that I don't even know who I am. And the root behind it was that I've tied who I am to what I look like my whole entire life. And after speaking to so many women, I understand that that's not just me, right? There's so many of us who feel that way and who have unfortunately tied their self-worth to how they look, right? Like, oh, I'm fat, so I obviously can't be worthy of love, or I can't be worthy of great friendships, and I can't be worthy of success because I look a certain way. And I, you know, during quarantine, I've sort of come into my own version of myself, and I'm just here to tell you guys, like, enough is enough. I'm over this bullshit. I'm over feeling shitty about myself. I'm over looking at myself in the mirror and comparing myself to people who don't even look like the images that they're putting on social media. So when I knew that we were about to shut down, I went through a little bit of a debilitating, anxiety-ridden moment where I knew that I would be so anxious that I would just binge eat and binge eat and binge eat. And that's my issue, is I overeat to compensate my feelings. If I'm stressed, I eat. If I'm feeling aggravated, I eat. If I've had a hard day, I eat. If I've had a good day, I eat. So I knew that if I'm going to be stranded indoors and not being able to go do anything, see my friends, go to work, etc., that I needed to make a huge change. I was already pushing about 196 before quarantine, and I knew that if I just like continued on my same like destructive mental health path, that I would just continue to gain weight and gain weight. And I want to preface, the number is not the issue. It's how I feel being that number. I've been literally every weight in the book. I've been 140, I've been 160, 150, 180. The worst I have ever felt is at 198. The best I have ever felt is at 185, where I'm at right now. I never felt good at 140. I looked great, but I never felt good. So that's what I want to preface. For me, I tie weight to my number.
Like, I tie my workout success and how things are functioning to the number that I see on the scale, because that's just how I am. Played sports my whole life, so I'm a numbers girl. Like, stats mean everything to me. But I want you guys to start thinking about, like, what makes you feel happy. Not exactly the number that makes you feel happy, but just, like, fucking being happy in general. So I knew, you know, just to go back, so I knew that when quarantine hit that I would probably, like, dive into this, like, terrible mental headspace. So I had been following this woman on social media since I had met her at a wedding. Her name is Liz Fergala, and she kept sharing Arbonne and, you know, this, like, program that she was on that really helped her kick her baby weight after her second child. And I just, like, loved how she was really owning herself, right? She was so proud to be in her body. You know, she was talking a lot about how it made a huge impact on her. And I'm definitely not here to sell you Arbonne at all, but I knew that I could do something like that now that I wasn't going anywhere. Right? If I was still commuting to the office, you couldn't pay me to take two meal replacement shakes a day, right? It just wasn't gonna work for me. But now that I was gonna be home, I felt like I could do it. And I needed something that was gonna spark my passion for myself again. I needed something that would allow me to focus on myself. And Arbonne actually became that thing, because I was able to be like, okay, today I'm going to wake up. I'm having this shake at this time. I'm having this shake at that time. These are the vegetables I'm making for my snack. This is the dinner that I'm making. It just allowed me to focus on myself, which is something that I had not been doing for years. And so I did this program for 30 days and I ended up losing, I want to say, about like 10 pounds. So I went from being, well, actually, no, I lost a lot more. So I went from being 196 down to about 184, which was amazing, amazing. And this comes when I was like trying over the holidays, I was like really trying to lose weight and I could not seem to get below the 196 number. I really couldn't. It was absolutely painful. So once I saw numbers dropping, I'm like, damn, I could do this. Like, I can do this. This is great. And then I'm getting like a lot of DMs on Instagram that are like, do you think it's sustainable? The meal replacements, can you keep this up? I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could do it, blah, blah, blah. So like a lot of it came from, you know, people were just genuinely curious on if it was something that they could do, right? Like, do I think that it's like these results are going to last beyond the 30 days? And I'm here to tell you that yes, they can last beyond the 30 days. So I did the Arbonne 30-day program. What was it? April, all of April, I think. And I was about 184, and now I'm 185. And this is, it's been like what, 3 months later? This is August, 3 or 4 months later. So it definitely works. And it actually helped spark my just interest in working out and being a little bit more athletic and in wanting to focus more on myself. As I was saying, it's really hard to put this energy into yourself when you're so used to not doing it. I feel like I was almost making excuses as to why I shouldn't care about myself and why I didn't deserve to be a certain number or look a certain way. And being that I've only been able to surround myself with my boyfriend for the last 6 months, it's helped me just reassess and focus on myself in general and just me. So as much as I loved the 30-day Arbonne program, again, I don't sell it. I'm not a consultant. Liz is, so I can definitely tag her in this episode when I release it. But I still have it. I buy it every month. I don't do two meal replacement shakes a day. I actually just do one. So I'll grab one for breakfast and go right to my desk and start working. To me, I actually just genuinely love the taste of the protein shakes, which is crazy because I have yet to find a brand that I did like the taste of the protein. And this was by far leaps and bounds better than so many others. So I've chose to stick with it. I do like it, but you know, I go back to eating pretty normally.
And Walter and I started working out, doing something called the Lost Breed workout. So you can find them on social media at the Lost Breed. They have a 30-day workout plan. So it's essentially Monday through Saturday workouts. It's a, you know, big circuit training, all body weight stuff, all things that you can do, you know, from the comfort of your own home. We literally work out in our living room, in the, you know, space that we have. We make it work. And we started doing it because our gym is still closed in our building. All gyms are closed. I think actually they just opened up yesterday. But when, you know, we moved in here, the gym in the building was closed. So we needed something to get motivated. We started working out just to get back in shape, and we really kind of fell in love with these workouts. Like, it's all body weight stuff, like I said. So it's like push-ups, dips, like push-ups on an incline, jumping jacks, just a lot of things to get your blood flowing, and like very high intensity workouts. I think I burned probably about like 250 calories in like a 30-minute span. And we did it for 30 days straight. So I legitimately worked out. Yes, me, Melissa Goncalves, worked out for 30 days and only took Sundays off because that was part of the plan. And then we just started up on round two, I think maybe 7 days ago. And I've been doing two-a-days, so I'll wake up in the morning and go for a 3-mile run slash walk. Most of the time, it's a walk, and then I'll, you know, come back, shower, get my day going, and then we work out. We do the Lost Breed workouts after work, and I feel great. I can't lie. I wanted to see how long I could push myself for, and I'm really proud of myself. It's one of those moments where I'm like, damn, I can't believe I'm keeping up with this as long as I am. But it's all a part of me trying to secure my mental health. You know, going back to at the beginning of COVID, what were things that I wanted to focus on so that I didn't lose my mind? You know, what was something that I wanted to make sure I kept in check so that I was the best girlfriend I could be, the best daughter, the best sister? How could I really get my mind right? And it's all through these workouts, and I legitimately just feel happier, better, you know, more at ease, not so tense, right? Not so high strung. I feel like once I approach a certain weight and sort of, you know, cross a certain number, I'm not sure if any of the listeners are like this too, but it's almost like there's an excessive amount of hormones that flow through my body once I reach a certain number. You know, I have very open conversations with my friends about this, where I feel like once I hit the 190 mark, I immediately become a very difficult person to deal with. I get really crabby, very irritable. And this is all a part of, you know, this whole program, me working out, me doing Arbonne, me eating better. It's all a way for me to ensure that my mental health stays in check during what is truly such a difficult time for so many people, myself included. If you're listening to this and anything that I've said resonates with you, I highly encourage you to go to my personal page at the Melissa Goncalves. I think I mentioned it before. And read what I shared about my journey and about the thoughts that I've had, and DM me, message me, reach out to me. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to be on this journey alone. You also don't have to go sign up for a trainer that's going to tell you just to suck it up, right? Like, there are so many people who need a different approach to getting back into things. So just DM me, just reach out to me. I can certainly be a positive outlet for you. I'm not a nutritionist and I'm not a personal trainer. I'll never pretend to be, but I am a human and I have human feelings and emotions. And I understand what it's like to really be depressed over things that you feel like you can't change. And I can help you see the light. I can help you get a little, you know, get back on the positive note, and start believing in yourself again. If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening to my first solo episode, the first of many, where I share a little bit of a piece of my life with you guys in the hopes of connecting on a deeper level with each of my listeners. If you ever want to submit a topic, feel free to DM me on social media and let me know what you want me to talk about. Thank you again for listening. Hashtag get femmed. Do you know any trailblazing females that you think we should be featuring? Send us an email at femmete@gmail.com. That's femmete@gmail.com. As always, thank you for your support as we strive to promote the growth of diverse women in all industries. Hashtag get femmed.